Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Good, you're alive. You're awake. Awesome. My name is Josh Williams. I'm one of the pastors on staff. I get to hang out with the students. I'm a student ministry pastor, and I get to preach to you and just talk with you this morning. If you have your Bibles with you or handy, go ahead and grab them and open up to Psalm 147. If you're new to the Bible and you don't know where Psalms are, open up to the table of contents. You'll be able to find it there, and then 147 will be the big number. The chapters are the big numbers. If you don't have a Bible, go ahead and raise your hand. One of our ushers can get one to you. Anybody? No? Okay, cool. If you want to use your smartphone, you can. We're not against that. We're not haters here on smartphones and anything of that nature, so you can use that. And just in case you use one of our Bibles, it'll be on page 667. And once you guys get there, just say woot. We'll get kicking. There we go. Any youth in the house here? Raise your hand. Wrap them. There you go. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we stand before you, God, in your word. God, we open up. You know, we open up this book called the Bible. It's your word. You speak to us through it. And Lord, we want to hear from you today. God, we expect to hear from you because you do speak. You still speak. You reveal yourself to us. And so this morning, God, I just pray, God, that you would soften our hearts to be able to receive what you are saying, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what your word is saying. Lord, that you would humble us this morning and that your spirit would just be speaking to us as your word is preached. And that you would be with me, God, to clearly speak it. God, if there's anything that's in my manuscript that I shouldn't say, God, then I pray that you would hinder me from saying it. And God, would you speak clearly to us this morning? That you would draw our hearts to worship after hearing your word, that we would worship while hearing your word. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, don't answer this out loud, but why did you come to church today? Because if you answer that, it'd be kind of awkward, right? It'd be kind of awkward. But why did you come to church today? Why? What made you get out of your bed this morning when it's so cold outside, possibly have to shovel some snow, and to get yourself here? Why'd you do it? Why'd you join us in singing this morning? Why'd you sing the worship songs with us this morning? Why would you come and hear a guy read from the book called the Bible that the Christians call God's Word and then preach from it, talking about the God of the Bible? Why would you do that? Especially, why would you do that every Sunday, if it's every Sunday for you? Why would you do that? Why would that be a part of your daily Sunday routine? Why would you worship? Some Christians call this time a worship service or a worship gathering. And what we do here is we worship God through singing and through hearing the word preach and responding to it. And so what reasons do you have for worshiping God this morning? Why? What reasons? Why'd you come here this morning? I have a definition of worship for you. I thought about it when I was writing this, but I don't think I can claim it as my own because I'm pretty sure someone throughout the years of the earth has probably said it this way. So I'm not claiming it, I'm not saying it's original, but I just thought of it, and I just want to give it to you. Here it is. Worship is expressing thankfulness and delight in God inwardly and outwardly in every part of your life, not just singing. Worship is expressing thankfulness and delight in God inwardly and outwardly in every part of your life. See, for some of you, worship is not hard, especially you guys who have like super, super shoulders. You just can keep them up super long, right? Worship is not a problem for you. But for some people in this room, you might have reasons why you don't want to worship. You come in here with reasons why you might not want to worship. You might even have reasons why you'd rather not be here now. You'd rather be doing something else. I don't know what that is, but you have reasons. Maybe you think that it's a waste of time. For some of you, you're here to support your spouse. Maybe you're here because your parents brought you here. The only thing to do besides being bored is to hop into that van and just go where they are. For some of you, you feel like you have to be here. Like you have to be here. Don't know what that is, but why do you have to be here? Because maybe some of you really don't buy this Christian thing. It's just a Sunday routine for you. And maybe you come in here with pressing issues in your life. Maybe your marriage is rocky, right? Maybe your marriage is struggling, and the last thing on your mind is worshiping God right now. You just have a hard time thinking about worshiping God because of what's going on in your marriage. That is the pervasive thing on your mind right now. Maybe some of you guys are struggling financially, and you're caught up right now thinking about how can I worship a God who feels like he doesn't provide right now? Like, I'm struggling, right? He's supposed to be a God who provides. Why should I worship him right now? And for some of you guys who go to school, whether it's elementary, middle school, high school, or college, school is a tough environment for you, and you're just, the last thing on your mind is worshiping God. Like, why would you worship a God when you feel alone? And some of you guys are single in here. Not married, wish you were married, wish you were with someone, and you're wondering, how can I worship a God when I just feel alone? It feels like he's left me. He hasn't provided for me. I think some of you guys have reasons. I mean, some of you guys are sitting in your seat and you're just thinking about your heart situation. And for you especially, why, how is it possible? How is it possible for you to worship God when that's true? You're just really struggling. You have pervasive issues in your life and you're just, it's hard. How is it possible for you to worship? I think the psalmist, the author of Psalm 147, that's what he's called, the psalmist, he shows you that worship is possible even in the worst circumstances. Look at verses 1, 7, and 12 with me really quick this morning. He says, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant." It's pleasant, he says, and a song of praise is fitting. Look at verse 7. "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre." Verse 12, "Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise your God, O Zion." He's saying this in a worship setting, just like we're in. I mean, maybe there's no seats like ours, but he's saying this to a gathered people who are about to worship, and he's saying, worship, praise him, thank him, be enthusiastic about him, brag on him, be thankful. But the people he's talking to they're kind of like you. They're in a similar situation. See, what he's saying this, what he's speaking this into is a people who are just returning from being oppressed, people who are just coming from being in exile. God sent them out from their land because they decided they wanted to worship something else beside God. And so God wanted to give them a picture of what it's like to worship something else besides him, to worship a God who wouldn't provide and take care of them just like he would. And so he let them. And as they left, they lost the comfort and the security and provision that he would provide because they decided to worship something else. And so he brought them back. He brought them back, and then when they came back, the land was not what it was supposed to be. It didn't look like what it used to. The ground was jacked up. I mean, it looked like nothing would be able to grow on that land. The gates were not what they're supposed to be. They don't look strong anymore. They look destroyed. They look like rubble. It's in this situation that he's speaking into. It looks hopeless. And so they're probably thinking, God, I thought you were bringing us back. I thought you were restoring us, but it doesn't feel that way. God's supposed to be with us, but it doesn't feel that way. And so he's saying, worship, thank him, enthusiastically sing about how good he is. Well, he doesn't seem good right now. Maybe that's what some of you guys are thinking. He doesn't seem good right now. It doesn't seem good to a brokenhearted person. It doesn't seem good to a person who's despairing, who has no hope. It just doesn't seem good. Why should I worship? Well, he gives us three reasons this morning. He gives us three reasons. He gives you three reasons why you should worship this morning, why your heart should well up into worship. Three reasons. Here's the first one. Look at verses 2-6. "The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. And he binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground." The first reason is that God heals and comforts. So we're going to think backwards really quick for these set of verses, okay? In verse 6, it says, God lifts up the humble. That's what he says to them. And this is not the type of humble where you think less of yourself. This is a type of humble where you've been humbled. You ever just been beat down in life where you feel like you can do nothing, you lose all confidence in yourself, and you feel worthless? That's the kind of humble he's talking about. You're not clinically depressed, but you feel like it. You feel hopeless. You feel like there's nothing but despair in life. And these are the type of people that God heals, the type of people that God comforts those who are humble. He says more, the psalmist is saying, that's what God's doing for you right now, even if you don't feel like it. He is healing you. He speaks from real-time experience, from real-life, real-time experience. He's going through it right now, and he's saying, worship the Lord. He's saying, look around you. God is rebuilding Jerusalem. This land that you saw that's broken down, he's rebuilding it. He's bringing people back. He's bringing people back. He's brought us back, and he's bringing more back. And if you don't believe me, check this out. Look at the stars. Look at the stars. He made them by his power. And not only that, but he named them. And he knows their name, every single one of them. All those different clusters of gas that were sitting out in the sky, he's holding them together. He made them by his power. Can you do that? He made them by his power, and he's holding them together. And then he says, hey, what's that name? He says, that one. That's its name. I know that name, too. I know that one. I know that one. And he's saying, if that's true of God, that if he has a power and a genius to put the stars together, to know them by name, then he knows every single one of you, every single one of your situations, right where you're sitting, knows your name, first name, middle name, last name, nickname, cute name. He knows your name. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're going through. And so for the psalmist, this isn't a question for him. This is a reality that God heals, he comforts. This is a reality. And so your situations, I just want to tell you this morning, your situations, your circumstances, they don't define who God is. The hard situation that you're possibly in right now doesn't define who God is. Because life is going good right now, it doesn't define who God is. And it doesn't define what he is doing completely. I said completely. Doesn't define what he is doing completely. Over and over again, the Bible shows you this picture of a God who's working in and through hard situations. Hard situations don't mean that God is not present. It doesn't mean he's absent. It actually means the opposite. It means that he is working. See, the humbled person is in a hard situation, and God lifts them out. He heals those kinds of people. And hard situations describe how God is working. It describes how he is working. I don't know all the details of your life. I don't know God's mind. I don't know what exactly he's doing in your heart situation, but all that I know is that it means that he's working, and it's describing how he's working. You're going to be able to look back hindsight and be like, oh man, that's why you did that. That's why I was going through this. It doesn't define if God is working. He is working. He is working. And if you're not humbled here this morning and you don't feel like you need God, it most likely means that you're living life your way. It most likely means that you're not trusting in him. And if that's true, God doesn't save those kind of people. He saves people who acknowledge and realize that, man, they desperately need him. He only saves people who recognize their need for him. And so the way that he tends to relate to those people, spends time. The way that he's working in your life, spends time humbling you. Working in your life to show you that you need him, and it's a humbling process. It's a humbling process. And listen to me, that's an act of love. God can just totally leave you in your spot, in your mess, let you die in that mess. Instead, he decides to pursue you. And so thank God it's hard. Thank God that it's challenging, because that means that God is working to get your attention spiritually, to draw you in, if you're not trusting in him. And so worship God because he heals, he comforts, he is patient. Check this out, he doesn't punish you right away. You're sitting in your seat because he's decided not to punish you. He decided to give you mercy. That's amazing. We deserve to be punished for our sins right away, right? We expect a criminal to go to jail swiftly, but why doesn't he treat people who break his law like that every day? He is super patient with us, super patient with us. I'm so thankful that he's patient with me, because I am a jacked up human being. I don't hit the mark. Almost ever. Praise God that he's patient. And so the psalmist has another reason for you to worship. It's the second one. Look at verses 8 through 11. It says this: he covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of a horse, or the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Here's a second reason. God provides for your needs. He provides for your needs. even if you don't feel like it. I think this is hard for us to grasp because we see life through our perspective, right? We think about how hard we work, right? We think about how many hours we put in. We think about the energy we exhaust. Well, I don't know about you, but when I come home from work, I feel like I'm going back to more work, right? I love my kids. I love my kids so much, but they do take energy, right? They do take energy. You parents especially, you know that. Come home from work, you put them to bed at 7 o'clock, and all you want to do is be a vegetable. And the last thing I'm thinking about is not God. All I could feel is me. I'm tired. Right? It's so hard for us to really sense. God doesn't feel like God's there in those moments, but the reality is that he is there. The psalmist gives you a different perspective. He says to people who depend on nature, your crops grow because God makes a cloud come, drop the rain. Doesn't stop there. It says he drops the rain and he makes the grass grow. He's all up in that process, all up in there. He's making the grass grow. In our science and logic age, we just kind of think sometimes that like the earth is just going through its process to make the grass grow. There's no God attached to it. It's just natural for the earth to do that. It's just Mother Nature. But the psalmist is saying, God does it. He created the earth. Look at it from another passage, from another place in Scripture, in Colossians 1, 16 through 17. You don't have to go there. But it says this, by him, talking about God, all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through God and for God. And he is before all things. In him, all things hold together. In him, all things, man, I don't know how to think about that word all, but I think it means all. It's mind-blowing, profound. All things, he holds it all together. God holds everything together. He makes the wind blow. He makes the sunshine. He moves clouds. He makes it rain. And he holds you together. He holds you together. The air that you're breathing right now, he's supplying it. I mean, just imagine that. He's constantly working. The dude doesn't rest. Constantly providing you energy. Your chest rises and falls because God holds you together. Think about that. God did that. He's holding me together. I exist because he continues to hold me together. So the strength of horses, and the legs of man in verse 10, and what it's referencing is military strength. And so it would be common for a nation to go to another nation for help when they're struggling in a time of war, to go ask them for military strength for help. And here's where Israel went wrong. This is where they went wrong. They instead of trusting in God, they went to people. The same people that God created. The same power that God gave them. They went to the wrong person. So God is not impressed. He's not impressed with your ability, with my ability to be independent. It's just not. Why? Because he made us. He's providing for us. The reason why LeBron James is awesome, because God made him. The reason why he can just dunk on someone is because God gifted him that way. That's all God's glory. So fearing God is understanding that you have no help apart from him. You have no help apart from him. Fearing God is understanding that. And he loves it when you understand that because you run to him for rescue instead of running to something else for rescue. The question is this morning, what do you run to for rescue? If it's not God, what do you run to? Because if it's not him, it's something else. It could be you, it could be a material thing, it's something else besides him. And see, what always humbles me is that God continually provides for everyone, even though people don't give him credit for it. Even when we don't acknowledge him, even when we treat him like garbage, even when we act like he doesn't exist, even when we try to act like we're God. Crazy. Blows my mind. He could take our breath away, but instead he just continually provides it. Just continually provides it. So it may not be what we want. It may not be according to our expectations, but if he created us, then he knows exactly what you and I need, and he's providing it. And when we don't want what he has for us, what you actually want is dirt compared to what he can provide. You want what you really need? Run to the man who knows you, who's designed you, who knows exactly what you need. Run to him. And so praise God that not only he provides, but he loves to do it. He loves for you to ask for him. He's not looking for you to try to dig up your resources. He loves that you would come to him and ask him and ask him and ask him. He loves for you to hear, God, give me because I need. Not just give me. Give me because I desperately need. I desperately need you. I don't know if you ever thought about that before, but that, just the thought that God likes to give. It's like a wealthy man who just has a storehouse and is willing and ready to give if you would just ask. If you would just ask. Loves to give. I didn't hear that preached when I was younger. And so the psalmist has one more reason for you why you should praise God. It's in verses 13 through 19. Look with me. It says, for he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children with you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down the crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He melts his wind, or he makes his wind blow, and the waters flow. And he declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. Here's the last and third reason. God sustains you and secures you. We kind of teased this out a little bit in the previous reason, but what that second reason was about was that God provided. This one is about God's power over nature and power through his word. So I think what the psalmist is getting at, look at verses 13 and 14 really quick. Just look at it. I think what he's getting at in those verses is that God is their security. He himself is their security. God always provided and protected Israel when they were faithful to worship him. Jerusalem was where God was, and when they were in his city, when they were under his authority, they were safe. They were not safe when they decided to worship something else. The only safety and protection you have in this life is God himself. And what's true for us in Jesus Christ right now, what's true for us in Jesus Christ right now is that God is our trust and our security because of Jesus. The Christian isn't supposed to look for security in this life because it's only temporary. Creation, the things that are created, the things that you can make, can't do anything for you except make you temporarily happy. But then you've got to go run to something else and make it. God is our trust and security. And so one day all believers will be where Jesus is. They will be where he is. And where Jesus is, he will come down from there one day and bring us up with him. And he will make new heavens, new earth. There will be no more death. There will be no more decay. There will be no more despair. All that will no longer exist. No more trouble. No more insecurities. No longer exist. And he will be there, and we will be where he is. He will be our gates. He will be our protection. He will be our peace. Imagine that. He will be our peace constantly. He will be safety for us. And so we get to experience some of that now. Like, we don't get to experience it fully, but one day we will fully experience nonstop, like binge-watching Netflix. Nonstop. Except for it'd be way better than Netflix. I don't know what he calls it in heaven, but it'll be awesome. And then the psalmist gives us an analogy I think we all understand. Snow. I think we grasp this, especially here in Minnesota where it's frigidly cold. It's bitter. It's rough, cold sometimes. Maybe you guys are thinking I'm a wimp because I'm not here long enough. I'll get there. But it's cold, right? It's cold. And then this amazing thing happens. It melts. It gets warm outside. It melts. And then this weird thing happens next. This beautiful green stuff called grass grows. And then these flowers start to blossom. They're awesome. Wait, that rhymed. I didn't plan that. But it's warm outside. The water is flowing. And then all of a sudden, we want to just put on shorts and wear flip-flops when it's like 60 degrees outside. He brings the joy. And the psalmist says that God makes that happen. He speaks and commands blankets of snow to melt, to water the plants, and to create new plant life. See, sometimes he sends horrible conditions just to humble his people. But then he's ready, and ready to be swift to send a warm wind to comfort us. Just by a word. Happen. Just happens. And he creates life by his word. He created a people by his word, It started out with Abraham, and it just became numerous amounts of people by his word. He gave Israel his laws to show them what's right and wrong so that it might actually produce life. So God sustained you. The reason that you're alive is because God keeps you alive. It's not because of your diet. It's not because of your workout. It's not because you're a genius, although those things are helpful. Some of you guys are really smart in here and can just like walk circles around me. Some of you guys work out so much that you're just jacking and fit, and it just makes me sick. Some of you guys are so healthy that it makes me feel bad eating a burger. Those are helpful things, but it doesn't keep you alive. It doesn't keep you alive. God is the one responsible ultimately for holding you together. And so do you notice this constant theme in this psalm that you should worship God because of God? Worship God because of God. Worship God because of what he is doing in your life. He hasn't left you alone. He is working. He's healing. He's comforting. He's sustaining. He's providing for you. He's protecting. And the crazy thing is that he doesn't have to do it. He doesn't have to do it. And he does this for people who don't love him. That's what's also crazy to me. People who don't worship him, people who would like to act like he doesn't exist. Here's what further blows my mind. Look at verse 20. It says, he has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. Praise the Lord. So for the longest time, God only gave the people of Israel this kind of treatment, this kind of love, protection, safety, healing. Only one group of people. I mean, it's like, I'm just going to pick on you, Jordan. Wake up. Just kidding. He's awake. I'm going to pick on Jordan. He's a youth student here, okay? Imagine that God loved Jordan so much that he provided all these things just for Jordan. Don't get mad at me later. It's just Jordan, and one of you guys, the rest of you guys in here, don't get that treatment. And you look at him day in and day out, and God shows him that constant love, and you're just watching him receive it, and you don't get any of it. So that's what it's like. Like, the people of Israel, they got that treatment, they got that love, and then the other nations didn't. He did not deal thus with any other nation. And what blows my mind now is that because of Jesus Christ, we all get to share what Jordan has. We all get to step into what Jordan has for those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So God has made this possible through Jesus Christ. The reason why God did not judge everyone is because he was storing up his wrath, just pouring it in a massive cup, just so that his son could drink it for you. That's amazing. And anybody who would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ gets to share that, the ultimate statement of love, that he will lay his life down for you. And he took the punishment that you and I deserve and gave us what we didn't deserve. And now everything that is true of Christ is also true of us now for those of us who put our faith in Christ. Instead of getting the penalty of a lawbreaker, we get the privilege of the loved son or daughter. We get the same privileges as Jesus. He looks at us and is just amazed at us, sees us as obedient even when we mess up still. Because what's true of Jesus Christ is true of us. What's true of Jesus Christ is true of us for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. It's amazing. And so I have a gospel conclusion for you this morning. From all of this, I have a gospel conclusion for you that worship is not just possible in the worst circumstances, but that God makes it possible. He makes worship possible through Jesus. You want to worship? You want your heart to overflow with worship? Look right at Jesus and run to him. Run to Jesus. Look at him all day and see what he has done for you. Don't move. Don't leave. Stay on your knees until you realize what he has done for you. Because he's your reason that you can worship. Because of him, Hebrews 4:16 says that we can stand in his throne of grace confidently. Not afraid, confidently. Imagine that. Close your eyes right now. By faith, we're standing in God's throne room and the angels are singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." We get to stand right there in front of him without fear, without shame, because of Jesus. Without him, we don't have that. So you can worship God because you have a Savior. And And what blows my mind is that when we know that, there are people who know of Jesus, who know about Jesus, and they'll spend their whole life spitting on him, stepping on him, when God still provides this for them. Your situation is not the worst that it can be. It isn't. It's definitely not far worse than what God deserves to give us, what he deserves to give you. So God doesn't treat people the way that they deserve. Amazing. He gives mercy. He has every right not to, but he gives it. He gives mercy. And so praise the Lord, because this is pleasant news. This truth puts us in a fitting position to worship because of Jesus. And so I know for some of you, you guys in here, you're still not convinced. Still not convinced, still unimpressed. And friends, I just want you to know, if that's you in here, I want you to ask yourself, why don't I worship God? Because what Psalm 147 just showed us is that God is not the reason why you don't worship him. God is not the reason why you don't worship him. And if I look at that and I bring it to its conclusion, that means that the solution resides in you. Not the solution. The reason why you don't worship is in you. Not the solution. The solution is outside of you. It's Jesus. But the reason why you don't worship is because it's not because of God. The reason is inside you. And I just would ask you, what is that reason? What is that reason? Your only hope is Jesus. It's not his fault. It's not God's fault. Whatever reason why you don't worship is because it's in you. What is that? What is that? And once you find that out, run to him. Let's pray. God, thank you that you give us reason to worship. God, I confess and admit, God, that I so quickly think that it's my responsibility, that I need to fix my problem, that I need to do this, and when really the only way that I can fix my problem is to run to you. God, I confess and admit that I don't readily think of you, that I'd like to blame you for a lot of things. I don't look to you. I think I'm on my own, but you show yourself clearly that you are there. I just pray that you would speak to us this morning through this, and that you would convince us, God, that you are there. That you would really help us to really dig deep and really confront our own sin and then to run to Jesus. Help us to see, God, that you are constantly moving, that you are there, that you do provide, that you heal, that you do protect, and you do sustain us. That it may not look like the ways that we would like it to be, but God, would you just show us the ways that you are there? Or that we might worship you. Because if you don't, if you just leave us to ourselves, we won't worship. And so help us to do that. And thank you that you don't leave us to ourselves. Thank you that you're constantly pursuing us. In your name I pray. Amen. Love you guys.